right, travel arrangements are set. The Star Swan leaves early tomorrow. Third-class seats. It's the least I can do after the night of pleasure I know she'll give me.
I saw Miss Oneth waiting for you out there. Trevag, leave the girl alone.
Leave her alone? You can be anywhere within 4 meters of that love morsel, and you say leave her alone?
Trevag, most species, most civilizations ostracize members who bear hybrid children. Now, if you find her attractive, there's probably enough enzyme compatibility for you to get her with child. You'd ruin her for life.
I can't believe you. You're within meters of that, and you're talking to me about enzyme compatibility? Man, grow some gonads. If she was worried about that, she wouldn't be traipsing around the galaxy in that flimsy little head veil in the first place.
Prevent!
All right, I'm only taking her out for a walk. She can always say no.
So what I told Baloo was partly true. I just didn't mention stopping off at the Mos Eisley Cantina. This beautiful idiot is clearly tipsy, but I think she needs a little more work. Still, that warning look Baloo gave me as we were leaving, I didn't like that one bit.
I can't believe that you would... you truly love me enough to wed. Males of my species fear that commitment, that giving of all for love.
The males of your species are fools.
A few glasses of rum at Shalman's Cantina should get her back to a hotel room.
Have you gotten me on the ship?
Yes, you'll be traveling on the Star Swan tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes, and you'll be with me? We'll return to Hanemthi and set up the ceremony. My mother and sisters will be...
My Blossom, I am an official of the Empire, you know. I can't just leave everything all in a moment. I will follow as soon as I can. Within a few more days, believe me, I will be counting the cycles.
I can tell she's disappointed, but my explanation appears to have placated her.
Just a moment,
Mike. That through the crowds, those dusty robes, the trail of the bright orange scarf. Pylocam. He's crossing to the government offices.
Come.
It's all falling into place. Pylocam saw the Jedi without really seeing the Jedi. Something seems to have cleared his brain, and he's finally realized who it was he saw. And now he's going to report the sighting to Baloo. Fiery stars! I'll have to have Baloo taken out sooner than I thought. Ordinarily, I'd contact Vegnu and set up something through Java, but there isn't time. That's fine, though. There are plenty of freelance assassins at the Mos Eisley Cantina. I'll arrange it in a trice and have plenty of the afternoon and all of the evening to conclude an encounter of another kind with Night Lily at the Mos Eisley Inn. Baloo is as good as dead.
Feltapern Trevag, a scam artist of the lowest order, though he's obviously of a different opinion. The way he waltzed out of here with his latest conquest, he has all the finesse of a crate dragon in heat. Well, I have more important things to worry about as far as he's concerned. It'll be interesting to hear what Pylocam has to say.
Come in!
You asked to see me, Officer Baloo.
Oh, Pylocam, glad you got my message. Sit, please.
Have I done something wrong?
I'm not sure yet. Let me try a story out on you. I don't know whether it has a happy ending yet. Maybe you can help me decide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suppose that a certain Imperial employee, say a Mos Eisley tax assessor, had decided to do a little side business. Maybe he thought his paycheck wasn't enough. Maybe he had other motives. Now, let's also suppose that said official had a meeting today. Say, at the booth of some health food vendor?
Oh, but sir,
I'm not finished yet. Now, let's also suppose, far-fetched as it may seem, that the meeting was not between the official and the vendor, but between the official and another person.
Oh, I'm beginning to catch your drift. Uh-huh. Oh.
And if that were true, the vendor wouldn't have done anything wrong and might be free to go. But if the vendor overheard something and did his duty as a citizen under imperial rule and informed, then he would definitely be free to go.
But what if Trevag found out?
Oh, who said anything about Trevag? I'm speaking hypothetically. I'm not after you, Pilakem. I've never done you wrong before, have I?
No. You're one of the few honest lawmen in the spaceport. Trevag had a meeting with Jub Vegnu this afternoon. Vegnu's that obese Celestan with the horrible eating habits. They were discussing Trevag's getting a loan from Jabba to take over some woman's home. He thought she'd sell in a few days.
That would be the Modbrek widow who was here this morning. Anything else?
They also discussed some other deal, but I just wasn't paying attention to what it was about. Trevag wanted Vegnu to inform on something in the future, I think. Trevag said something about it being part of his duties as an officer of the Empire, but I think the idea was that Vegnu could share in the profits if he informed instead.
It's all coming together. Now, this is very important, Pilakem. Do you know anything about a Jedi Knight who comes into the marketplace?
I remember Trevag coming by my stand a while ago, but I don't remember any Jedi. Besides, you know how many old men in brown robes are wandering around the marketplace?
Are you sure that you don't know anything more?
You have my word, and I've told you everything I can remember.
Of course.
Did you say something about a Jedi?
Yes. The rumor is one's been seen around.
You believe it?
I'm not sure. But I think Trevag knows. He's involved in a lot more than just real estate swindles. This time, though, he's in over his head. And this time, I'm gonna bust him!
Stepping from the late afternoon dust and glare into the near darkness of the cantina is like being swallowed by a bantha with indigestion. Thanks space for my hunter eyes. They switch almost instantaneously to night vision, even as my cones go wild. Overlapping electrospectrum fields, personal magnetic auras, buzzing like hives of bees. Halos of irritation and annoyance swollen by the proximity of strangers and aliens, all exacerbated by every sort of psycho and neural relaxant and intoxicant known in the galaxy. It's like the marketplace, only more sinister. Everyone here is looking for their next meal ticket, and if it requires the shedding of life force fluid, so much the better. Even without working cones, Night Lily can sense the dark thoughts and emotions. Of course, that isn't hard. The seedy crowd and the Bith Band jive reek of them.
Are you sure it's safe in here?
With me, you're safe, my Blossom. With me, you'll always be safe.
Her anxiety and distress are prey signals, invitations to conquest. I'd like to crush her in my arms. But first, a stop at the small booth next to the nearest exit. As soon as she's in the mood for it, I'll whisk her away.
I'll get us drinks, Blossom. You wait here.
Woo, drinks for me and my female.
Trevag, haven't seen you in a while. Who's with you?
The Hanemthi beauty back there.
All right, Hanemthi, huh? Walking on the wild side, eh, Trevag?
What's with the strange look Wooer's giving me while he waits for the computer to mix our species-specific drinks? He envies me my Night Lily. Could Wooer be the one human who has the taste to recognize true beauty?
Here,
dear.
It's all so strange and decadent. I've never seen anything like this. I've never been away from an Enthi.
Well, there comes a time, my pet, when we all have to graduate to adulthood. And perhaps this is your moment.
Do you really think so, Feltapern?
Yes, I do. And I want you to know that I am more than willing to be your guide.
You are too kind, Feltapern. Or could you start by telling me who all these beings are?
Well, that one over there is our Kona. He's a salt.
Such charming and alluring naivete. I'll keep her entertained by telling her about the different species as she looks around, fearfully marveling. It's an excellent chance to scan the crowd, seeking out vibrations of other hunters, of assassins.
Oh. The ghoulish one is a given, and the one-eyed one is an abyssin.
And what's that big, white, fluffy thing?
I'm not sure.
And at that booth?
Oh, that's a Shistavan and Wolfman. He's been eyeing that Florm Lamproid female over there for quite a while. One time unit, please, while I refresh our drinks.
I'm not sure I should.
Wooer, old buddy. And program hers for the max this time.
Sure, sure.
I must stop gloating. Wooer's watching me. I can tell he wants her, too.
My dear, you are so beautiful. I want to caress you and kiss you, to hold you. I'm not sure I can wait until we are wed.
Are you truly sure, beloved? Mating is such a solemn thing, such an awe-inspiring thing. So
it is as nothing. No sacrifice is too great for what I feel for you.
What I feel for you is animal desire, my innocent flower. No wonder they don't often let the unmated females travel off her planet. They'd never make it home. Not with their virtue intact, anyway. Back to scanning the bar, distracting Night Lily with small talk, as I search for the perfect assassin. Those two tall female humans over there look like twins, but though their aura has a flame-like brightness that sparkles with danger, the color isn't right. Steer clear. The green-skinned Rhodian at one of the card tables looks like a possibility. He's nervous, peering around the room. He's a killer, but could he take on Baloo? The Wolfman can, but he seems too intent on the Lamproid. The Wookiee and his Karelian friend at the table in back seem likely, but I won't need both of them. And then there's the tall, thin man smoking a hookah at the bar. His aura is dark and terrible. I don't even want to approach him. There's a coldness in him beyond anything I've encountered before. The rest are all locals, the foul Dr. Evazen and his disgusting Aquilish friend are dangerous, but not for hire. The Deveronian swaying to the band's music over there is sinister-looking, but his aura reveals that the danger is more visual than core-deep. There's also an old spacer in a flight suit, but he works for the monastery, and I doubt he'll accept a murder contract.
I like this music. What kind is it?
It's commonly called jizz wailing, which is a pretty apt name. Personally, I don't much care for it.
That buzzing confusion in my cones again. It's growing stronger. I should have guessed. An old man in shabby, dusty robes just came into the cantina.
The Jedi.
What did you say, darling?
Just thinking of your jewel-like eyes, my sweet.
Who's that back desert moisture farmer with the Jedi? That kid looks as astonished by the environs as Night Lily did. And those battered old wrecks with him are poor excuses for droids. Seem to have some glitches in their programming, too. That gold-plated translator droid just won't stop fussing after the R2 unit.
Hey, we don't serve their kind here.
What?
Your droids. They'll have to wait outside. We don't want them here.
Listen, why don't you wait out by the speeder? We don't want any trouble.
I heartily agree with you, sir.
Wooer hates droids. I don't care for them much myself. Their power cells sometimes make my cones prickle. The Jedi's at the bar talking to the monastic spacer in the flight suit. I wonder what they're saying. Space. Between this music and Night Lily's whining, I can't hear a thing.
Oh, dear heart, how can you love me so much to sacrifice for me? We've only known each other so short a time. You do love me, don't you? Really love me?
Of course I do, of course. Night Lily, you mean everything, everything to me.
Oh, Veltipern, that we should have met like this. That you should have come into my life like this. Oh, let me put my arms around.
I've got to get in touch with Jubb Vegnu and let him know about the Jedi. But how? And I have to find an assassin immediately. Baloo might already have tracked the Jedi here. Oh, I've got to get this blasted female off of me. My very life's at stake.
Night Lily, love, would you excuse me for the briefest of whiles? I have some business that needs attending to.
Of course.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't like you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Veltipern, I love every little thing about you, right down to your funny old beard.
Oh, really, my dear, just 1 minute.
Come here.
Now this one's clinging to me like a dingo on a rock. Can't seem to get her off my back. That moisture farmer who came in with the Jedi is having problems of his own. Let's see where this goes.
I don't like you either. You just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead!
This little one's not worth the effort. Come, let me get you something.
Something's about to happen. I can feel it.
No blaster! The old man. Space! He's got a lightsaber in his hand.
What?
It was over in seconds, but my cones are still roaring from the storm the old Jedi unleashed. The glowing weapon somehow focused and channeled his powers. Pondo Baba's minus one arm. Lucky he has Eve Azen to help him out. Never thought I'd see the two of them scurry out of a room. Look at that. Wooer's Jawan assistant Nakar is absconding with a severed arm. Say, doesn't he also operate one of those marketplace fast food stands? Don't want to think about what he's planning to do. Yuck. The Jedi and his farm boy companion are going over to talk to the dark-haired Corellian with a scar on his chin. What's his name? Oh, it's on the tip of my cones. Solo! Captain of a junk heap called the Millennium Falcon. I have to hear their conversation.
You need something to calm you down, my blossom. I'll get another drink.
Oh, hurry back!
Moving to the bar, close by Solo's booth. Still can't quite hear what they're saying.
Chewie here says you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
I feel a rush of hunter's adrenaline in my veins. The Jedi is heading off planet, running from something. It's now or never.
We'll pay you 2,000 now, plus 15 when we reach Alderaan.
17.
Good, they'll be delayed. The boy's probably going to sell his speeder for the money and maybe the droids. They won't leave for a while. All I have to do now is take care of Baloo.
Okay, you guys got yourselves a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94.
Let me review my options. Solo and the Wookiee obviously won't be for hire as assassins now that they have themselves a job. Judging from the way they look, I bet they're only smugglers anyway, not up to dirty work. Let's see. The Wolfman over there having words with a lamprey-like thing beside him. Ugh! That lamprey's aura scares even me. Ditto the hookah smoker nearby. Well, it leaves the Rodian. He keeps fingering his blaster anyhow. Good, that's settled. Now for some foreplay with my lovely Night Lily. There'll be plenty of time for the Jedi and Baloo.
Wooer, let's make this one double strength.
You're the boss.
Careful. Okay, no one's looking. There goes the love wallop pill straight into the drink. Such forethought to grab it out of my desk before we came here. I know how much Wooer charges for them.
Here, my sweet flower. Nectar for the lily.
Oh, Feltapern. Did anyone ever tell you that you're a silver-tongued goat-hull? No one's ever spoken.
With the riches I'll reap from the capture of the Jedi, maybe I'll even spring for a first-class ticket for Night Lily.
Darling.
Depends on how good she is. She's nuzzling in closer, her hands caressing my horns in the dim light. She'll be mine soon. Oh, stormtroopers again. Don't they ever take a rest? Oh, and it's an off-planet squadron, not Baloo's men.
What just happened here? I heard there was a disturbance.
It was nothing, officer. Just some of our clientele getting overenthusiastic.
We'll see it doesn't happen again. We'll find you next time if you can't control them.
Good thing the old man and the boy have already disappeared, along with a hookah smoker and several others. Seems there's more than a few people that don't want to be spotted by the Imperials.
Excuse me for a moment, dear. I need to speak with the Rodian over there.
Don't be long, darling.
Hey, where's the Rodian going? Uh-oh, his aura's shifting. He is a hunter, and his prey is Solo. In that case, maybe I'll just watch the show at the side of my precious flower.
He seems to be otherwise occupied, dear.
What's happening, Feltapern? Oh, no, not something bad again.
Una puta Solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Jabba I've got his money.
Song Bijale.
The smuggler is sitting down at his table as the Rodian points his blaster at him, the exchange almost smug.
Yeah, but this time I've got the money. I don't have it with me. Tell Jabba.
What's he saying? What's going on?
Quiet. Even I get bored sometimes. Do you think I had a choice? Over my dead body. Yes, I'll bet you have.
There now, just hold on to me. Tighter.
Sorry about the mess.
No, there's too much violence here. Can't we leave and go somewhere?
Yes, my sweet. I'll get you a room at the inn, and if you wish, I'll stay with you a while.
Oh, Feltapern, you don't know what you're doing for me.
Come along, my dear.
The wolfman has already left. He was my last hope. Okay, new game plan. I'll contact Jubb Vegnu when I get to the inn to arrange for him to inform the city prefect about intercepting the Jedi. I'll also offer to throw in an extra 100 credits to dispose of Baloo immediately. That will take care of any competition for the reward for the old man's hide. And then I'll feast on the trembling bundle of sensuality that's glued to my arm. The more delectable of the two hunts in which I've been engaged today is about to come to fruition. The loveliest of prey will be mine. You know, I may have retired from the trade, but I'm still quite a passable hunter after all.
Come, my dear, there's a couch over there.
Thank you, Feltapern. I don't know why I can't stop laughing.
Well, perhaps this will help you stop.
Oh, Feltapern, dear, I am so honored. My mother will be so proud.
That settles it. Next chance I get, I'm paying a visit to Hanemthe. If all the females there are like this.
Feltapern, I don't want to rush you, but could we go over to the bed?
Are you sure, my dear?
Rush me? Sure, my little love guppin, you don't know what you're saying.
Oh, it's getting warm in here.
I'm starving for you, Feltapern. Starving. I can't wait a second longer.
First, let me open the window. I need to cool off a little.
But won't they hear you? Hear us?
What do you mean?
Docking Bay 94. Hurry! Full blasters!
There's a firefight at Docking Bay 94.
Feltapern, I'm going to lie down. I'll be waiting for you.
Hold on a moment. Dock 94. That's where the Karelian smuggler told the old man. They're leaving sooner than I expected. Space.
Please, dear. My love awaits you. Let me open you up, body and soul, as we reach bliss together.
Little do you know what I'm sacrificing for your sake, my darling.
Oh, I do, my dear. Oh, yes, I most certainly do.
They're getting away! Well, at least I'm left with a consolation prize.
Veldhaven!
My filly! By the suns, your tongue, it's so...
Private log of Predny Balu, security officer, Mos Eisley Spaceport. Today started out like any other. Hot, arid, dusty, bright. That's okay. After yesterday's excitement with the smuggler ship Millennium Falcon and the arrival of several detachments of Imperial stormtroopers, none of whom reported to me or my superiors, I might add, I'll be happy with a dose of standard Tatooine boredom.
Sir, we've just received reports that the Tusken Raiders attacked a small farming homestead out near Anchorhead.
Terrible! Whose place was it?
It belonged to an Owen and Beru Lars, a pair of moisture farmers. And they also attacked a Jawa sandcrawler.
The Raiders? Attacked both of them?
Yes, sir.
That's not like them. They're quite squeamish about attacking human settlements. And what would they gain by attacking the Jawas?
People are saying that it wasn't the sand people at all. That the attack wasn't their style. There's a lot of talk that it was those extra squads of stormtroopers that may have done the job, looking for those droids that were reported yesterday.
Worthless helmets. As if they hadn't caused enough disruption in the spaceport yesterday. Now they're out of the...
Officer Balu?
What now?
I'm afraid there's been a murder.
What else is new?
Assessor Trevag was the victim, sir.
Are you okay, sir?
This is one of the grisliest murders I've seen in a while.
I know, sir. Now, look over there. Do you see how the...
Poor Trevag was eviscerated. This is where I'm... Judging from that trail of his innards running from the window back to the bed, his killer seemed to have dragged him there. I never realized his blood was greenish-blue. It's everywhere. Sprayed on the windows, pooled on the sheets... Whoever killed him seems to have used some kind of long, thin, barbed knife. Rather skillfully, too. Deadlier than your average assassin. Whoever did this was truly sick. I wouldn't have wished this fate on anyone, not even on Trevag. Still, after that stunt he pulled with a female alien yesterday, there are more than a few immediate suspects. I can't rule out Pilocam. I don't think the old man would have had the strength to do this. It's possible that Jub Vecnu did this, although Jabba's contract hits are usually cleaner. Whoever crosses the hut usually ends up in the teeth of his pet rancor or the bowels of the Sarlacc in the pit of Karkoon. The prefect? Could have heard one too many times about Trevag's double dealings, but this seems an awfully drastic measure.
You sent for me, Chief? Oh, Stike. I didn't need to see this so early in the day.
Sorry. Thanks for coming. I thought you might have seen Trevag with someone last night after he was done with that young female he brought into the cantina.
Yeah, sure. Didn't anybody tell him?
No one had the heart.
Tell him what?
About Henemthi. The girl he was with. The Henemthi female.
Night Lily?
Was that her name? It figures. Pretty
good
name.
I'm gonna pretend I don't notice that little Jawa Nakkar is giving the coroner's deputy a handful of credits. Best not to ask which part of the Gotal he's buying. They're still gathering pieces to put under that dark-stained sheet.
The Miyum, the night lily, is a carnivorous flower that feeds on small rodents and insects that try to drink its nectar. After mating, the Hanemthi females gut the males with those tongues of theirs. They're as sharp as sword blades, and a lot stronger than they look. Some kind of biological reaction to there being 20 Hanemthi males for every female. The males seem to think it's worth it to achieve the act of love. I saw them together in the cantina, but I didn't think Travag was crazy enough to try to bed the girl.
They're getting ready to carry the corpse outside, Woor. Let's go. You know, Travag was always bragging about being such a great hunter. You'd have thought he'd sense it coming.
How could he? For her, it was an act of love, too. Naging mithino vido isobek kishuv isobek.
What's that mean?
It's an old Ithorian proverb current in some sections of the spaceways. Uh-huh. Loosely translated, it means the word for love in one language is the word for dinner in others.
You've been listening to Night Lily, a dramatization of the short story by Barbara Hambly. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Music mix direction and production consultation by Lars Howell. Dramatization by Andy Mangles. Music from the Star Wars films by John Williams. Original music for this program by Ken Maltz. In the cast, you heard Ashley Albert as Night Lily, Maggie Albright as the DeRozian vendor, Allison Fraser as the Modbreck mother, Lars Howell as the Spaceport Duro, Russell Horton as Baloo, Orly Moskowitz as the Modbreck girl, Jim Morlino as Luke Skywalker, Alan Oppenheimer as Travag, Chris Phillips as Jub Vegnu, Bill Raymond as Pilacam, Dick Rodstein as Obi-Wan Kenobi, Paul Scheffler as Han Solo, Jeffrey Wade as Evazin, and Steve Winfield as Wooer. Sound effects by Arthur Miller and Zed Starkovich. Production copyright 1995, Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. We hope you've enjoyed this dramatization of Night Lily, The Lover's Tale by Barbara Hambly. The original story can be found in the collection Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, available wherever Bantam books are sold.